views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience inspiration, creativity, and knowledge, because every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors really helping you to discover the greatest version of yourself. And you can find out much more at thelucidplanet.com. Listen to all my show archives at lucidplanetradio.com. And we are now streaming on iTunes. You can subscribe to all the podcasts. Just type in Lucid Planet Radio on iTunes. We are also offering some amazing new sponsorship and advertising partnership opportunities because we are on the brink of expanding the show to 200 AM, FM, digital, and cable stations. This would put Lucid Planet Radio in over 11 million homes in the U.S. and as well as an extensive global syndication in 90 countries and 25 channels just in Australia. Wow. So please email me at drkellyneff@gmail.com and we can discuss more about how we can create a plan that could meet all of your conscious business needs. All right. That being said, so I'm really, as in case you couldn't tell, I'm super amped about the expansion plan. I'm super amped about the show and where the show is going. And I'm super amped about today's show, which is really all about expanding our consciousness and how we collectively share in these experiences through culture, through art, through music, through entheogens, and through gathering together. And I am very excited today to welcome one of my favorite authors to the show as we embark on this exploration, Australian cultural anthropologist Graham St. John, PhD. Graham has authored several books, including three totally awesome books that are sitting on my desk right now, Global Tribe, Technology, Spirituality, and Psytrance, as well as Technomad, Global Raving Countercultures, and of course his newest book, which we're going to talk about at length today, Mystery School in Hyperspace, A Cultural History of DMT. Wow. A little bit about Graham. He has been awarded postdoctoral fellowships in Australia, the U.S., Canada, and Switzerland, where he just recently began researching the global Burning Man diaspora in Europe. He also is all over the place speaking at conferences, transformational festivals, and he's the founding executive editor of Dance Cult, the Journal of Electronic Dance Music Culture. How awesome. So there's a lot I want to talk about today, but I suppose the best place to start is with Graham's new book, which is about DMT, also known as the spirit molecule. Very briefly, if you don't know about DMT, it was a Hungarian psychopharmacologist who first discovered its psychoactive properties in the 1950s. And in the decades since, it's been slowly infused into our culture. The CIA investigated its psychogenic effects. We had artists like Burroughs, Ginsberg, the Grateful Dead, Alex Gray, and Spangl, talking about it and getting inspired by it. We've had scientists like Rick Strassman, who's going to be on the show next month, studying its psychopharmacological significance. And we've had, Terrence McKenna, obviously, becoming its global emissary. The debate about DMT continues to rage on. We don't understand it, really. It's called the brain zone psychedelic. It's inspired everybody in our culture, scientists, psychonauts, theologians, artists, and festival goers alike. So what Graham St. John has done in Mystery School in Hyperspace is really created the first and only cultural history of DMT by weaving together all of these elements, neurochemistry, aesthetics, spirituality, ethnobotany, and more. Wow. On that note, let's welcome Graham to the show. Welcome, Graham.
Thank you, Kelly. It's an honor to be here.
it's definitely an honor to have you on. I have really looked up to your work for such a long time and been so impressed at how you've been able to kind of document the neo-tribe kind of counterculture that's emerging in our society, really through a very professional and academic lens, while also being a participant observer. And I guess my question for you is, you know, you're studying raves, you're studying music, you're studying entheogens, you're studying Burning Man. Do you love your job or what? Because it sounds pretty rad.
Yeah, I kind of like it. Yeah, it's a pursuit of passion. And I think, you know, if you pursue your passions, you generally get to the right place.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And sometimes it's scary, you know, because you're really one of the first people out there doing this. And, you know, did you know that this was what you wanted to study when you became an anthropologist?
No, I'm not sure that most people do know. I guess through trial and error, they fall into the right place. I mean, I did a PhD on... I started doing a PhD on mortuary rituals, and I ended up finishing a PhD on alternative festivals. So figure that out.
That's amazing. Well, you know, it's all about the evolution, I suppose, and maybe there's some similarities between the two. I don't know, but let's talk a little bit about. I want to jump right into your new book. Which is a great read, by the way.
Thank you.
So it's so long, you'd think it would be kind of like hard to get through, but it just flies by.
It's at the length it's designed for, as a friend said, breaking open a few heads. That size.
You know, I think that's the ultimate intention in all kind of creative work, right? We want to at least smash something with it when we're done. So good for you. So I guess my question and possibly the best place to start for the people out there who don't really know what the title means, or for those of us who maybe we think we do, Mystery School in Hyperspace. What is that?
Well, I guess at one level, that's a cool title to lure in readers.
It is.
It obviously, it's a reference to, I mean, the key word there is hyperspace. And that really is, I guess, an invocation of one of my great heroes, Terence McKenna, who toured the globe espousing and, elaborating upon this concept of hyperspace over two or three decades. In a response to his initial experience with DMT in the fall of 65 in Berkeley, not so far from where I'm standing now.
Awesome.
When he was first exposed to DMT and the so-called machine elves from hyperspace. And he spent many years as a stand-up philosopher investigating these realms and wowing audiences with his theories about hyperspace. So I guess that was the immediate influence there. There's so much, and I should say that this is a book that's, you know, it's a history of cultural history of DMT. It's not the cultural history of DMT, and I'm sure that even though that it's the first detailed cultural history of DMT, it won't be the last. It'll be I'm inspired by the idea that it will incite further works from others and further investigations of the subject matter.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's really cool how just in the last couple years we're seeing kind of Terence's mission continue on, and we have Strassman doing his research and writing DMT, the spirit molecule, and then the documentary by Mitch Schultz, who was on the show last year, DMT, the spirit molecule. And we're seeing, and this is being viewed like hundreds of thousands of times on Netflix, you know, and it's like something that's been so fringe and so out there, suddenly it's incredibly popular and mainstream. And I find it incredible, really, how quickly our culture has kind of evolved, reaching critical mass to like accept this substance.
Yes. And,
yeah. So I guess my question for you, it looks like we're about to go into the break already, like in a minute or two, but why did you choose DMT for this book?
Well, I guess actually I mentioned that I was studying mortuary rituals earlier on. That's the immediate connection, because I guess most people who've had the full breakthrough experience with DMT have had an encounter with their own mortality. And I think that death, or what they call the mini death or the minor death, associated with the DMT, with a full-strength DMT experience, and those who have used ayahuasca have a similar understanding, know what I'm talking about. And I guess a great deal of the book is a way of sort of unpacking that, and how these experiences, including the breakthrough experience, and including that which I guess is a quintessentially liminal symbolic death, because of course no one actually dies. We just get a greater insight into our mortality.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's unpacked in the book. I'm sorry.
No,
I think we're going to a break.
Yes, we are going to a break. So you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And when we come back, I will have Grant St. John here talking more about really cultural history of DMT and kind of the psychological understanding of the states of consciousness that we go through in the DMT breakthrough experience. So stick with us, and we will be right back in a few minutes.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving. Even in the face of adversity, say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey everyone, meet my friends at the maca team. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is known worldwide for its huge array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team is here to bring you the best maca the Peruvian mountains has to offer. Yellow maca, used to promote endurance, vitality, fertility, hormone health, and much more, is on sale now. I love it. Visit themacateam.com to order yours now. Themacateam.com.
1230 WBLQ.
Back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is author and anthropologist Graham St. John, and we are here talking about DMT, culture, art, and of course mystery school in hyperspace, Graham's new book. Before we continue, Graham, I just want to make sure that everybody knows how to contact you, so could you give your info for our listeners, tell us where they can find out more about your books, buy the book, go to your talks, dance cult, etc.?
Yeah, I guess the best port of call would be my main website, which is Edge Central. That's just the words Edge and Central, so EdgeCentral.net.
EdgeCentral.net.
Yeah, you can basically access everything from that.
Awesome. You guys definitely want to check out this book. And I don't know if you heard our interesting music coming out of the breaks today. Of course, it's Spangle from Are You Spangled? And there's a huge connection between Spangle and kind of the culture of DNT and really psychedelic music in general and the way that people are experiencing this. And we're going to talk more about that. But first, I want to go back to kind of understanding DMT to the people out there who've never heard of it or who haven't tried it or who don't want to try it. What are the effects? In other words, is this something that people do for fun as a recreational drug, or is this something that people use as a tool for enlightenment, or both? What is your take on that, Graham?
Well, I guess the answer to that is quite complex because it's right across the spectrum from serious spiritual transformational intention to more recreational usages, although those aren't necessarily separated. So what we're talking about is a powerful, short-lasting tryptamine that certainly had a growing appeal in the last decade. And the history... So my book is really about the history of the, in one way, the optimization or the augmentation of the effects of DMT through various techniques of use and administration. And the effects are anywhere from beautiful, intense geometric shapes to a plunge through into an alternate reality, which many people describe as an out-of-body type of experience. As I describe in the book, it's a profoundly or even quintessentially liminal experience, the DMT state or the DMT trance, which is very similar to, I guess, the effects of other tryptamines, except this is a very short-lasting, between 5 and perhaps 10 minutes, up to 15 minutes. There are blended combinations of herbs such as changa, which initiate a so-called sub-breakthrough experience that have been optimized for more recreational usages. So it's something that you would encounter more at dance festivals, for instance.
Oh, absolutely. I can only share my experience. Of course, I'm based out of Denver. And Denver is totally a huge up-and-coming kind of countercultural scene right now with bass music and all kinds of psychedelic music. And everywhere you go in the city, you will smell people smoking DMT. And it baffles me because I think to myself, like, this doesn't seem like it would be a recreational, like, good idea. And yet we have this joke. It almost smells, if you've ever smelled it and you don't know, you've probably smelled it at a festival and not even known. It's kind of like a mothballs almost. And
right.
We have this joke, ayahuasca is grandmother. So when you smell people smoking DMT, like at a show or a festival, it's grandma's bacon cookies. That's what we call it out here in Denver. That's what's up. Anyway, but yeah, it's definitely become a recreational experience from what I've seen. And what I've heard from people, but yet it seems that you're almost gambling because the wide array of people's experiences with the substance, from absolute bliss and euphoria to total like terror hell, really. There have been a lot of documented very bad trips on this, and also very good trips. And does your research really help you understand why there's such a huge range in people's DMT experiences?
Yeah, it's a good question. And the book is an attempt to cover the broad range of experiences and certainly the broad reaction to those experiences that we have culturally, because I think we have a very ingrained ambivalence towards DMT and other tryptamines that initiate or inaugurate such a wide range of experiences. So there is an an uncertainty associated with, for instance, smoking crystal DMT that has been effectively countered through over time through these more optimized recreational forms of administration. But I think it's fascinating to me that so you can go back to the likes of William Burroughs, who one of the earlier chapters in the book deals with his earlier explorations with Yahay and then subsequently DMT in the form of what was called Prestonia. And his experience, because of course DMT is an integral component of ayahuasca, his experience with ayahuasca or Yahay in the early 1950s in the Amazon was one where he, as earlier documented, carried around an antidote, which was barbiturates, because he was so fearful of the effect that which the effects of which he actually warned Leary, Timothy Leary, in the early 60s that this was the nightmare hallucinogen. but the reality is, when you read the letters, the full letters that he wrote to that Burroughs wrote to Ginsberg, is that he actually had a very profound and rewarding experience with ayahuasca back in the early 1950s. So I guess that's an example of perhaps how the terror or the horror that one might face during the night of the soul, the night of the dark soul, yes. Potentiates a greater becoming and a flourishing beyond that. So I think that for many people has been a very important part of their own personal transformation to go to these often dark places in order to be to come out the other side.
Yes, it takes a certain amount of courage really to undertake that journey. And similar with ayahuasca, which of course lasts even longer. I just wanted to clarify for our listeners out there who maybe weren't exactly sure. Ayahuasca is an Amazonian vine, and it's basically, and the book talks so much about this, I don't really need to go into it right now, but through a process of synthesizing, it becomes DMT, which is then orally administrated, usually. And Graham, you can, of course, please weigh in on this. Rick Strassman's book calls DMT the spirit molecule, and there's a lot of conversation and debate about DMT itself is produced in the human brain, in the human pineal gland. Some say when we dream, when we're born, when we die, and yet it's a Schedule I federally controlled narcotic. And so it's kind of like created this atmosphere of confusion. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I just have to say that your description of ayahuasca probably wasn't exactly right, but yeah, there certainly is a symbiosis of DMT and the ayahuasca vine Banisterios capi that is important to that drink or tea. And so far as the brain's own psychedelic, of course, I'm glad you're having Rick on the show soon. He is another inspiration for the book, and of course his book DMT the Spirit Molecule, which was subsequently the inspiration for the very popular film documentary by the same title, explains so that book is really one of the key memes that came out of his research conducted at the University of New Mexico in the early 90s, where he administered DMT to 60 volunteers, over 400 doses, sometimes high doses, injections at the University of New Mexico. His key meme encapsulated in the idea of the spirit molecule is that the pineal gland is the ostensible source of production of DMT in the human brain. And what's fascinating to me as I document is that even though that theory hasn't yet been proven, the idea seems to have left the clinic to take on a life of its own in popular culture and horror films. And I document that in one of those chapters. So I think there has been in the last couple of years, research that has discovered DMT in the brains of, in the pineal glands of rats. We still don't have enough research to effectively prove this theory that the pineal gland is the sort of gateway to the beyond, with DMT providing the lubrication, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And you know, this is part of the mystery and the wonder and the mystery school, is that we really don't know what's going on with DMT, and but it does continue to, you know, it is impacted by prohibition. Although it's funny how only the federal government could find a way to make something illegal that's created in your own brain by you. But that's a topic I guess we'll talk about another time. I'm Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio. And when we come back from this short break, Graham St. John and I will talk more about culture, DMT art, and of course, getting spongled. So we'll see you after the break.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Francine Vale is a being of light. She believes that all people of planet Earth are as well. As co-host of the Angel Healer radio show, Francine teaches you heart-centered ways to manifest healing on your own behalf and how to integrate love more fully into your daily life. Connect with your angels as you find your life flowing with ease and harmony. Walk the path of light with Francine and Dr. Pat Basile every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey everyone, meet my friends at the Maka team. The Ancient Inca root vegetable maca is known worldwide for its huge array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team is here to bring you the best maca the Peruvian mountains has to offer. Yellow maca, used to promote endurance, vitality, fertility, hormone health, and much more, is on sale now. I love it. Visit themacateam.com to order yours now. Themacateam.com.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And I have Graham St. John here talking about his new book, Mystery School in Cyberspace, A Cultural History of DMT. So Graham, I have a kind of funny story that I wanted to tell you. I really want to talk about music and art. And I have a funny story to tell you. About a month ago, I had my good friends, the visionary artists, Randall Roberts and Morgan Mandala, over at my house. Who are, of course, wonderful psychedelic artists. And it was funny. It was actually the night that they had painted live on stage with Spangl and Alex and Allison Gray at the Fillmore in Denver, which was amazing. Incredible show. Anyway, I had them over at my house, and I had your book on my kitchen counter. And I had it there because I was really proud and excited that you're going to be on the show. And I kind of kept hoping that they would notice it and I could be like, oh yeah, Graham St. John, he's coming on my show, et cetera. And they didn't notice it because we were talking and stuff. And then finally I kind of was like, hey, have you read this book? And I was so proud and excited. And Randall Roberts was like, oh yeah, yeah, I know about that book. I was like, oh yeah, you know, he's going to be on my show. And Randall turns to me and he says, yeah, Kelly, you should check out the art in the middle. I had only read like the first 100 pages at the time. And he was like, yeah, you should really go to the middle and you should check out the art. And so I did. And of course, right there in the middle is Figure 10, Divine Messenger of Truth by Randall Roberts. And Randall's like, yeah, my art's in the book. And it's this great portrait of his good friend literally handing him the DMT pipe and then all these amazing, crazy, psychedelic mandala fractal visuals coming off of it. And I kind of laughed hysterically because I was like, of course your art's in the book, you know, of course, because this is really just this beautiful illustration of how kind of art and music and entheogens can all be very spiritual experiences, and they can all interact and kind of inspire each other. And of course, we've been playing Spangl throughout the show, and you talk about in the book how Spangl is unequivocal about the impact of DMT on his creative development. And so I'd just love to hear from you, Graham, about your thoughts about like this intersection of how art influences spirituality and spirituality influences the psychedelic use, and the psychedelic use influences the art, and they kind of all come together to create something amazing.
Yeah, well, that's a wonderful story. Randall's work is one of the wonderful pieces in the book. There's 30, I guess your listeners should know that there's 30 beautiful color illustrations from the likes of Alex Gray and Andrew Jones, Guillaume Weird, Martina Hoffman, Luke Brown. I'm going to forget a lot of people, that there's just some amazing artworks, and many of which evoke the liminal quality of DMT, the passage-like experience, the threshold nature. There's lots of portals, gateways, and openings. One profound opening was that which was experienced by Martin Yub Glover, or otherwise known as Youth, in the mid-90s in London, in the backyard of what was then Butterfly Records, and he was passed a pipe by Raja Ram, who subsequently went on to co-found Spangl, and there was a few others in the backyard, but Youth had an incredible smoke out where he was visited, as he tells the story in the book, by dragonflies. He had dragonflies fluttering their wings in his eyelids. And as he tells the story, Dragonfly Records, and as a consequence, Psychedelic Trance was, and I guess Goa Trance was born in many ways from that afternoon in the backyard and of Butterfly Records, which became Dragonfly Records. One of many profound openings that this substance has provided, especially in the 90s, because as my book documents, DMT has had a very powerful influence on the development of artistic movements and music movements, especially psychedelic electronica and Spongle, of course. They produced their album Are You Spongled, was released in 98, and that's essentially, that album is essentially a kind of cosmic lightship for the emergence of DMT in the world, in our world, and that album is really a sort of spokespiece for Terence McKenna and DMT, so the 90s was an incredible coming out period for this development, with of course the advent of the internet and McKenna, you know, touring on the global stage and making quite significant interventions on the nature of consciousness as a result of being exposed to tryptamines.
And so I'm sure that as you're researching this book, it took you on lots of magical journeys to different people and different places. And, you know, we talked about, you really spent the last 3 years working on this. It's a ton of work, a ton of research. But you probably got to, you know, see some interesting things and connect with some cool people. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, this book is certainly didn't come from nowhere in particular. I've had a lot of friends and a lot of allies in the production of this book. Dennis McKenna, who's written the foreword. It's a great privilege to meet him just last year, and it's an honor to have him write the book. He's the global go-to person on the psychopharmacology of DMT. He himself introduced me to Rick Watson, who wrote a wonderful short story that I've quoted at length with his permission in the book. Rick was the guy who basically gave Terence his first smoke of DMT back in the fall of 65, and that story is recounted. It hadn't been recounted before, so one of many. I've obviously, as you know, I grew up in Australia, where Terence McKenna has stated in a popular sample, the native ecology of Australia is jammed with DMT, in the sense that Australian acacias are a source of DMT that are extracted and produced in the likes of blends, typically known as Changa. And I've met various people who have been involved in that development, and a good friend of mine, Julian Palmer, who recently also has written a book called Articulations, I believe it is. It's worth checking out on his role in the development and innovation of Changa and various other explorations. So many people that I'm not sure I could mention them all here.
And you mentioned, you know, acacia. Basically, to go back to what we were talking earlier, there's acacia and mimosa. Right? And the two of those, either one of those can be used to create DMT, and they grow all over the place. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, yes, but there are more. But those are two very, very common sources.
Australia, I'd love to get over there someday. I'm sure it'd be most amazing. And you guys have, of course, some great festivals too. Rainbow Serpent, is that in Australia?
Rainbow Serpent is in Australia. Yeah. It's just happened.
I almost went, but I just, you know, I'm here doing the show and writing, and maybe next year. But I'm sure that was part of the festival culture that helped to inspire you. But anyway, wow. Okay. Oh my gosh. We're going into the break. And, when we come back, I will be wrapping up the show with Graham St. John. Gosh, that went by fast. And we're going to talk a little bit more about culture, DMT, the DMT entities, and kind of what's coming next. So be right back.
Into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now through March for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit lynnbrownevent.com. That's lynnbrownevent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light, from author and healer Francine Vale, is available now. Through Francine's life story, we learn how imperative it is to love one another. Once this simple truth is learned, peace on earth will prevail. Song of the Heart is a life lived and a story told for this purpose. To learn more about Francine and her amazing gifts, or to order your copy of the book today, visit angelsandlightbeings.com.
Are you ready for a radical shift in your way of being? Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Awakened Living Radio is a show dedicated to helping you embrace a life filled with profound peace, connection, and happiness. TJ Woodward is passionate about helping you find your clarity, balance, and purpose. Join co-host TJ Woodward and Dr. Pat Basile on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Awakened Living Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We really didn't have to die to go to heaven. Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving. Even in the face of adversity, say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio. 1230
WBLQ.
Welcome. welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And I am here with Graham St. John, and we are about to wrap up the show talking about DMT, culture, spirituality. Graham, during the break, we were just chatting about how interesting it is to see DMT kind of pervading almost mainstream areas of popular culture. You know, obviously, we know that the kind of countercultural-based psychedelic trance movement is going to have elements of it, but we've been talking about that crazy psychedelic DMT country song that's on YouTube. If anybody remembers of the name of that, please tag Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly in it. And you were just telling me about another show. What was it called that had DMT in it?
Oh, it's the Wachowskis' Sense8, which was screened just this last year, the first season, where DMT is a strong theme, especially in the opening episode, where so it really evokes how ambivalent our attitude is towards DMT, because on the one hand, it's referred to as a potential source of truth and connection and transcendence, but on the other hand, it's associated with murder and violent death, which I guess sells TV series, but there's quite a degree of misinformation implicit to that. But it's an interesting series that is evocative of this trend.
Yeah, I mean, and the Wachowskis, I just want to see it just for that now, and obviously DMT. Part of what's so interesting, and maybe where I think some of the ambivalence stems from, is that DMT is really mystical and weird. And so many of the accounts, I know in Strassman's accounts, thousands and thousands of pages of notes, about 50% of people who had been administered DMT claimed that they had encounters with actual entities or beings of various descriptions, whether they were elves or being abducted by aliens or talking to God or gods. And this is part of the confusing part. What's your take on this? Do you think these entities are real, or where do the entities come from? Are they implicit in the trip experience? What do you think?
Well, it's certainly an interesting question. And for those who read my book with the idea that they will come to an ultimate, that I will come to an ultimate conclusion with regard to this, I will be disappointed. There are so many different theories about what these entities are, which, as you stated, there are a range of entities or spirit beings that people encounter in these states with a range of motivations and intentions. And some people will, reaccessing these states, will develop relationships with beings of one particular type of being with a particular intention, and many of them are positive relationships. There are speculations that these beings or entities are extraterrestrials. There are ideas that we are accessing information from our DNA, that we are interacting with our ancestors, the dead, that we are being exposed to time travelers from the future. That we are reaccessing perinatal memories, that these are simply projections of our archetypes, or more than that, that they can be explained by neuroscience, and that they can be measured according to science. So, from a neuroscience angle, I think that ultimately, as I state in the book, that it's a lot less interest to me to attempt to locate the origins of these beings than to understand what they mean for us personally. And that meaning is going to be idiosyncratic. It's going to be different for each contactee, so to speak. So that's the story that I try to convey in the book, which and I hope that somebody writes a book that's focused exclusively on the beings themselves, because this book doesn't exclusively deal with beings, and there's so much more to be said about that. And I'm glad that you have Rick coming up on the show.
Oh,
I'm sure he'll
wait.
Have a lot of insight for that.
Yeah, I mean, legend. I'm so excited to have him on. But, you know, it does beg the question. It's an interesting question. I'm a psychologist, and part of that is like, well, you know, these psychedelic experiences, some people, you know, use DMT and they say that they can see the hologram, that they can see that we're living in a hologram, or that they can travel through time, past, present, and future, or that they can see everything gridded out, almost like the Matrix. And, you know, it's not to say that a lot of new research in quantum physics doesn't kind of supports a lot of what the people on DMT say when they come back about how they've seen kind of behind the veil and they see how things work. But, you know, for me as a psychologist, it's just as interesting and just as important to look at these from how the perception of these experiences affects the individual. Whether instead of trying to, you know, determine its objective truth in the experience, you know, whether the purple octopus stuck its tentacles in your eyes in reality in a different plane or a different dimension, or if you perceive it to be that way, there's still going to be an effect on the psyche and a learning and a development that takes place from the experience. And that's what I'm interested in. That's kind of what matters to me. Same with like astrology. I don't care if the planets are doing it. I want to know how people are affected by what they perceive to be happening in their environment. That's more interesting. So I'm right there with you.
Yes.
But at the same time, and maybe that's just because there's no possible way that we can prove who the DMT spirit entities are. You know, I mean, what is, at least not with our current models of science, maybe in the future. But yeah.
Well, yes, the fact is that we know so little about the phenomenology, the subjective experiences associated with DMT and other tryptamines, that we're in the dark, and we're still in a dark age. And I'm happy to be publishing this book at a time when we're experiencing a psychedelic renaissance, and that there are so many positive fronts opening up. And but it's always been intriguing to me that this subject matter has been so obscure, and that it's had such a, I guess it's a result of the fact that it has had a slow release into the cultural bloodstream, and as you mentioned, the theme of interdimensionality, which I think is one of the things that I'd forgotten to mention with regard to the entities, is that they are commonly perceived as being contact with beings from a higher dimension, and yeah. It's this interdimensionality that is so difficult to transcribe in written word, and I guess that's why what Terence was always talking about with regard to its totally un-Englishable nature, even though he spent most of his life espousing of English on this particular on these higher dimensions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you bring up the psychedelic renaissance, and it's almost ironic, our knowledge is so obscured, and yet human beings have been using psychedelics for thousands of years. So there is a almost like a collective subconscious knowledge that we have that's now coming to light and being brought to light by people. Oh my goodness, we're completely out of time.
It's gone so quickly.
I know. Well, you'll have to come back on maybe in 6 months or so and tell us a little bit about how your new research on the Burning Man diaspora is going in
Europe.
That'd
be great.
That would be wonderful. And I just want to mention, of course, North Atlantic Books, who has made all of this possible and has brought out DMT, the Mystery School in Hyperspace, and
yes,
also Graham St. John's website, edgecentral.net, where you can buy the book. You can find out more about his appearances and his work and his research. So, Graham, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing such inspiring and really thought-provoking information with us.
Thank you, Kelly. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
It's an honor to have you, and I hope to have you. We're going to do this again. Totally. And also, of course, want to thank our audience and listeners for tuning in every week to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. You can join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, KKNW 1150 Seattle, WBLQ 1230 Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York, thelucidplanet.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. You can listen to all the archives of the show on SoundCloud at The Lucid Planet, Dr. Kelly. And you can subscribe for free on iTunes just by typing in Lucid Planet Radio. Next week, we'll be back with none other than psychedelic visionary artist Chris Dyer. And wow, I got to say, Lucid Planet Radio, we're just coming out of the gate crushing it for this year. striving really hard to bring you the best, most inspiring, man and mind expanding content possible. You won't really believe what we have in store for this year. We've got some awesome guests coming up. So next week with Chris Dyer, join us to talk about art and culture, and sending much light and love, many thanks to Graham St. John, and we will see you guys next week.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.